Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you to Grace Believers Bible Study. Would you turn your Bible with me again today to Matthew chapter 3. We want to continue in our study today concerning the baptism with fire. And I recommend again that you get your Bible, just like every class. I recommend you get your Bible. And if you don't have a Bible, that you get something so that you can write and write down the scripture references and study them. Our purpose in the broadcast is really twofold. It is to reveal the truth unto people that they might be saved. That is the preaching of the gospel of Christ. The Bible says that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Romans chapter 10, the Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But he said, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So if the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation, and salvation comes through the preaching, then it must be the preaching of that gospel. That gospel is that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. So anybody listening to me, no matter who you are, any person listening to me could be saved by simply trusting Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, believing that he died for your sins. So our purpose is to preach the gospel so that people be saved. Number two, our purpose is that we might establish the saved, those who have trusted Christ, we might help to establish them in the truth by showing them rightly dividing the word of truth, showing them that all the Bible is written for us, but it isn't all written to us. Now, there's great confusion in the religious world today pertaining to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, as they say, and of fire. And so all I'm trying to do is show you that you sure don't need to be praying at some altar that God will baptize you with fire, because that's something you do not want, believe me. Now in Matthew chapter 3, the preacher is John the Baptist, and notice in verse 10, he said, and now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, I want you to, so that we can get the picture, as we've got the sketch on the board here, I want you to turn with me again today to Isaiah and look in Isaiah chapter 61. In Isaiah chapter 61, notice in verse 1, Isaiah 61 verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, and on and on and on. And I've got a chart up here. I've got the acceptable year of the Lord over here. It would begin with the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sending forth the 12, afterwards the 70, and then the sending out of the 12 after his crucifixion up to a point over here. On the other side over here, the vengeance of our God. Now turn, please, to Luke chapter 4 and notice how Jesus Christ preached in the synagogue and how he used the reference in Isaiah chapter 61. In Luke chapter 4, verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book. You will observe that he did not read the latter part of the passage for the day of vengeance of our God. He didn't deal with that at that point. Instead, he closed the book, gave it to the minister, and sat down. At verse 21, he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Therefore I know that at that time the acceptable year of the Lord was proclaimed unto those people." The vengeance of our God has between the acceptable year and the vengeance has the day of grace. But you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, notice in verse 1, "We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain, for he said, I've heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Now, this age, now, at this time, the word "now" is very significant in the scripture. Go back to Romans and look in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, verse 19, Romans 3, verse 19, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Now verse 21, notice, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed with the law and the prophets." In other words, the law, given that every mouth may be stopped, the world become guilty before God, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. But now the day of grace. But now God will save you by the gospel. But now the gospel, the truth that Jesus Christ died for your sins and was buried and rose again, the truth that God was in Christ reconciling all the world unto himself, the truth that there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, that is being proclaimed in this age. Leastwise, that's what is supposed to be proclaimed, but I realize that it isn't always being done, but nevertheless, that's what God sent, and that's the message that God sent to you today. What? That God Almighty had mercy on you, a sinner. God had mercy on you, you that were accursed. God had mercy on you. How did he have mercy on you? He gave Jesus Christ to die in your stead. He gave Jesus Christ as a sacrifice for your sin and put your sin upon him. And the Bible says that God made him to be sin for us. Him who knew no sin became our sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so God Almighty proclaims unto you today, receive salvation. Receive the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Believe the gospel. And Paul said to some people, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Believe what on the Lord? Believe that he died for your sin, died in your stead, took your place in death. Trust in him with all your heart and God will receive you. So now is the acceptable time. In other words, between that acceptable year of the Lord to Israel and the day of vengeance of Almighty God lies a time of grace wherein you and I, people like us, can be saved without the works of the law. We can be saved without praying at some altar or walking the aisle for Jesus. We can be saved without water baptism. We can be saved without doing things. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ did it all in our behalf. there are those that are listening to my voice right now that you are like unto those of the book of Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11, Ephesians 2, verse 11, wherefore remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, verse 12, that at that time past, of verse 11, at that time, back here during the ministry of Jesus Christ, at that time, Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and so forth, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. You had no hope back here. In fact, in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus Christ sent the apostles forth and he said, go not in the way of the Gentiles. Go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Matthew chapter 15, he told a Gentile woman, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Acts, Jesus, having sent Peter and them forth, Peter is preaching and he said, you men of Israel, you men of Judea, you men of Israel, hear these words. This unto you is this message sent. So we that are here today, you that are listening to me today, at that time you had no hope, you were without Christ. You say, well, I could have done the same thing they did back then, repented and been baptized for remission. No. No. And that's not the message that God sent to you anyway. The message that God sent to you is a message of grace. What? When we were yet without strength, unable to help ourselves by walking the aisle, unable to help ourselves by some form of repentance, unable to help ourselves by praying through at the altar. In fact, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that you have an infirmity in the flesh and you know not what to pray for as you ought anyway. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus Christ died for ungodly people. Jesus Christ died for sinners. Jesus Christ died for the enemies of God, the Bible said in Romans chapter 5. You can be saved right now. How? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins at Calvary. Believe that Jesus Christ is the substitute that God gave for you. Trust Him as your Lord and Savior, and God will save you. God will receive you. He will accept you. But if you persist in trying to gain your salvation by being religious, you're going to do good works to be saved, then you're just going to end up in hell. There is no hope for you outside what Jesus Christ did at Calvary. Now, John the Baptist said unto those people, I baptize you with water unto repentance. He that cometh after me shall baptize you, a reference to the nation of Israel. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And so people pray for the baptism of the Holy Ghost today, and they pray for the baptism of fire, and they do it in ignorance. They don't know what they're talking about. Now, there is a day which is called the Day of Vengeance of God. Notice the attitude of God. Turn to John. I look in John chapter 3. In John chapter 3. Notice in verse 16, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that's clear. Verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. In other words, if you believe on Jesus, trusting that he died for your sins, was buried and rose again, then you're not condemned. God will never condemn you. There's no condemnation for you. There's no vengeance of God going to fall on you. Why? Because you trust Christ. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light, Jesus Christ is light, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Now notice, just go on over to verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That's clear. You believe on Jesus Christ, trust Him that He died for your sins at Calvary. God said you got everlasting life. God said you got eternal life. You're alive forevermore. In other words, you won't die. You will not go through the agony and the experience and horrors of death. Instead, your vile body will be changed at the rapture, and you'll be caught out to meet the Lord, to ever be with the Lord, if you believe in Jesus Christ, trust in Him as your Lord and Savior, believing that He died for your sins. But if you're one of those that are working for your salvation and you're not trusting Him, then you're going to get the vengeance. You're going to get the wrath. You notice how that I said that? You're working for your salvation and not trusting Him. If you're trusting Jesus Christ, if you believe that Jesus Christ, in fact, at Calvary paid for your sins, and you are trusting that He paid for your sins, then you're not trying to work it out. If you're trying to work it out and gain your salvation by water baptism, joining the church, keeping the commandments, repentance, and confessing your sin, then you're not trusting the Lord. You can't have it both ways. To trust the Lord is to relax in what He did for you at Calvary. And if you are not relaxing in what He did at Calvary, but instead working, trying to gain your salvation, then you're lost. In the passage, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. In other words, you're going to get the wrath. Now notice those people. John said he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And he said, he referred to the day of the vengeance of our God. Well, then that day of vengeance is going to come. Now watch. Acts chapter 2. Peter preaches a murder indictment to Israel. And he preaches, you men of Israel, you men of Judah, hear these words. God spoke unto you. You've taken and by wicked hands you've crucified the Lord. Now verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The promise is unto you and to your children, all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now notice verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. In other words, that generation there was going to get the wrath. The vengeance was going to fall upon them. They would not trust the Lord. In fact, in John, he said, you are of your father the devil, and the deeds of your father you will do. In Matthew 23, he called them serpents, vipers. Who is he talking to? He's talking to religious people. He's talking to religious leaders. He's talking to Pharisees and so forth. They would not turn loose of their traditions and just simply humble themselves before God and trust the Messiah. And so Peter said, save yourselves from this untoward generation. But they didn't. Look in chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse 18. But those things which God has showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of affliction shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ. In other words, the message of repentance is preached in view of the coming of the Lord. Repent, be identified with him in water baptism, that your sins may be blotted out, when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, and on and on and on. But they didn't repent. Turn to Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen is preaching unto them, and he's showing them, proving unto them by the scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. He's showing unto them that the one that they crucified is the Messiah. He's the Prince of Life and the means of life. Now in verse 51, he said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they've slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom you have now been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law of the disposition of angels, have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on them with their..." They didn't repent. They didn't humble themselves. They didn't back down. But instead, they went about killing him. "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on with their teeth." Verse 55, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus stand on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." It is like as if at that time that if they would have repented and they would have turned to the Messiah and believed in him as Peter did. Jesus said in Matthew 16, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That was the testimony of the man in Acts chapter 8. Philip got up in the chariot and turned to the book of Isaiah and preached unto him Jesus. And so the man said, "What hinders me to be baptized?" Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you can." He said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God." And they got down and he baptized him. But these people wouldn't do that. They wouldn't confess that he was the Son of God. They wouldn't confess that he's the Messiah. They wouldn't turn from their religious works and their religious endeavors. Jesus said that there was two that went up in the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, the other a publican. He said the Pharisee prayed thus with himself, and he said, "Father, I thank you that I'm not as other men are. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess," and on and on and on. He boasts and brags in all his goodness, his righteousness, his virtues, and so forth. Then he said, "And I'm glad that I'm not like this publican." But Jesus Christ said the publican wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote on his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus Christ said, "That man went away from the temple justified rather than the other." That is clear. Oh, I'm not telling you that you need to smite your breast and cry in the temple, "God be merciful." I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that you are wrong when you stand forth and you say, "I'm glad I'm not as that individual, and thank God I don't use tobacco like him, and I don't use alcohol like them, and I know that I'm a saved man." Why? Because I've repented of my tobacco, and God took the taste of alcohol away from me, and I on and on and on. No, that won't get the job done. There's only one thing that'll save your miserable, damnable soul from eternal damnation in hell. What is that? Believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and trust him as your Lord and Savior. God had mercy on you at Calvary, poured out his wrath and his vengeance on his Son in your behalf, and sent you the message of grace. The issue is not, does the preacher cry big old crocodile tears and
blow his nose in a handkerchief while he's doing it.
That's not the issue here. The issue is that Jesus Christ died for you. The issue is that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. The issue is that God would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The mediator between God and man is not Mary. Oh, the thousands and thousands of people today in this time that we're living in right now that are going in and they're touching some crucifix and rubbing their hand on some crucifix, or they're going in some temple and getting on their knees and facing Mary up there and doing the sign of the cross and all this kind of business today, and there is no salvation in any of those things. There's salvation in one, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ worked for your salvation. What was the work he did? He died. The wages of sin is death, the Bible said. What is the payoff for your sin? Repentance? No. What is the payoff for your sins? Water baptism? Baptism can't wash away your sins. What is the payoff for your sins? Joining the church? That won't solve your problem. The payoff for your sin is death, the Bible said. By one man sin into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You must die. But if you die without Christ, you're going to end up in hell. So, what's the answer? Trust Jesus Christ. Stephen in the passage here gave them an opportunity, but they rejected. Instead, they killed him, they gnashed on him, and they stoned him to death. There awaits them vengeance. Vengeance is mine, God said. I will repay, God said. You reject Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can expect the vengeance. He that hath the Son, he that believeth on the Son, hath life. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. No matter how righteous or how bigoted or whatever you are, you make no mistake about it. You reject Jesus Christ in favor of your good works, and you're going to get the vengeance. It's going to fall. The fire is going to fall. The elements are going to burn with fervent heat, and all that's in it are going to be burned up. But you can trust Christ now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and God will save you today. Thank you for listening. Until next time, good day.